Welcome to MoneyMD, where the money doctors are in the house. We're giving out prescriptions for better financial health and making smart decisions with your money. We give common sense solutions to your complex problems. And now, here are the doctors.
Well, Matthew, it has been quite an interesting week. It is hot.
It's official. Well, I guess it's not officially...
No, it's not summer. 22nd, I think.
Is it the 22nd? That's summer. Summer 21st, 22nd, right?
Yeah. So it's not officially summer, but it has been hot. I feel like June, every year, we've got these like hot weeks where you feel like you're never going to get a break. And then it comes back roaring in July and August, but yeah, it's been hot.
Yeah, we have four seasons here in Augusta, Georgia, which is really nice. It gives people things to talk about and, you know, activities to do like pools,
yeah,
and
pools. Oh, yeah.
Different stuff with kids and with families. We're going down to the beach, our family, this coming week, just for a few days down in Hilton Head.
So yeah,
we'll be down there, which will be a lot of fun. Do you have any summer activities with your
family? The kids are doing swim team, which is good. It's a lot. You know, we have four kids, two of them are doing it, and it's a lot every day. My wife gets them all ready and sent off and every morning, but they really do build the discipline, the habit of learning how to swim. My son did it first time last year. He's so much better of a swimmer this year. My daughter's doing it first time this year.
That's awesome.
Yeah, she's a little just unsure of herself in the pool, sure. So I really think at the end of this year, she'll have more confidence. But yeah, we're enjoying the warm weather. Kids are outside a lot. My son got a slip and slide for his birthday.
Oh, fun. Those are so much fun. Have you used it?
Not yet. This weekend.
Oh, okay.
We just set it up two days ago.
Put some Dawn dish soap on there?
Yeah, we put some Dawn on there, and they go flying.
I bet you do.
Yeah, so it's been a good summer. It's fun. We enjoy kids outdoors. Caroline and I are both kind of natural. We like home and like maintaining the home, and organizing the home. We like being outside, but we're not outdoors people.
Sure.
So it's nice when your kids pull you
enjoy
that,
that. Enjoy that.
Yeah.
That's good.
So anyway, hey, I'm Zach Albanese. I'm a certified financial planner. I've been here with Richard Young for over 3 years and in the industry for five, and happy to be here with you today.
And I'm Matthew Travis. I'm also a certified financial planner and am an advisor here at the firm.
That's right. Yeah, and we're excited to have you guys listening to us today on our weekly show. We are exclusively up every week on Friday afternoon, so you can find our show on our website, which is moneymd.net, or your favorite podcast app. Listen in, enjoy getting to know us and hearing what we have to talk about. There's a lot you can really learn on the show, and we enjoy putting this together. So you can also link to previous shows on our website or your podcast app to see if there's a topic that interests you. But we're going to start off here with the financial fact of the week, and then we'll get into our articles. I guess I'll introduce the articles. The two articles we're going to be talking about today are from the Wall Street Journal. The article there is What Starting Salary Makes College Worth the Cost. I thought this was interesting.
Interesting.
Thinking about college degrees and the price of getting a degree, and then also what kind of salary you need. Matthew, you're going to be looking at something from Ramsey. What do we got going on?
Yeah, and it's how to save on healthcare costs. So this is, everything's going up and up from a cost standpoint, and health insurance is included in that. And so, we'll be looking at how to save on this. And again, it's from the Ramsey Network.
Perfect. 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 Well, with that being said, let's jump into our financial fact of the week. What do we got?
Yeah, this fact is from the College Board. And it's interesting. So, and another advisor and I went up to Boise State in South Carolina and Anderson, South Carolina earlier this week. And we presented to, it was over 300 students total. Talking about finances and talking about financial planning. And these are 11th grade young men, adults in high school. And we're just talking to them about financial planning and what we do and how they can benefit from it. And one of the statistics is this, and this is a financial fact. The average student loan graduate, the average student loans from an undergraduate in 2023 was $38,000 last year. And so this means that the average student who graduates from a four-year undergraduate program has close to $40,000 just in student loan debt. And we see that the average time it takes to pay this off is around 20 years from what the data shows us.
20 years.
20 wow. years. And so if you graduate when you're 22, it means you're 42, you're paying your last payment. And so we were encouraging these guys, college, and this is honestly what your article may touch on, but college is great and it can be very beneficial. And also understanding the costs of college as well as the rewards financially and otherwise coming out are important, because I think most people would say, oh yes, college is a must. You have to go to college to be successful. And the reality is that's not the case, first of all. And second of all, it can put you at a big disadvantage if you're not intentional with these student loans when you do graduate.
Yeah, the number one thing with student loans, I mean, I just talked with former students I used to mentor, and they did advanced degrees, lawyers, have over $350,000 of debt.
Wow.
And, but, you know, they make good income now because they're lawyers. And, but I just said the key to any debt, whether it's $40,000, $350,000, or even more than that, is just having a plan. Because when you know that you can tackle $350,000 of debt in 5-6 years, then that goal allows you to hang on. But when you're like, it is, even $40,000 can seem impossible if you don't have a plan in place. So
that's right.
Yeah, I think that's have good. A plan in place, whether it's, you know, $100 a month, $300 a month, look at your budget, what can you afford to do? And then just get to work on that. So
that's good.
Good fact, good fact. All right, let's go jump into our first article here. This is what starting salary makes college worth the cost. Again, this is from the Wall Street Journal, just published a couple weeks ago. So it talks about how young professionals, they're graduating from these public universities, and these universities are charging in-state tuition, and they often receive a degree that is actually worth the money, but there's one caveat to that. New graduates need to earn at least $50,000 a year on average in their first decade off campus for the degree to pay off, according to new research from Strata Education Foundation, which is a nonprofit that analyzed federal education and earnings data. So if they can land that salary or make $500,000 before taxes over 10 years, I guess that's the larger number there, state school graduates across sectors will find the investment worth it and should be able to pay off their loans. Of course, the costs and amounts of loans do vary greatly. So this isn't a blanket endorsement for taking out huge loans for any degree that fancies you. But at a time when many Americans are questioning the value of a college degree, and some teens and 20s are foregoing higher education for things like trade work, like plumbing and welding, construction, it is encouraging to hear the system is not totally broken. So you can get a normal degree from an in-state public university, have a good value to show for all your hard work and efforts and your loans. Of course, though, four-year state universities are a bargain compared to like a private school. So it's much more difficult to find value in private college tuition. So, but regardless, the four-year degree still often provides a path to financial security. So as long as you're above that $50,000 average, even the most expensive states, you still have a positive return on investment, according again to that Strata Education Foundation.
Yeah, that's right. And there's various examples where you could pull this from. This article talks about one young man. He's 32 years old. He dropped out of a university about a decade ago because he needed to make money. He held various jobs, including one at a shoe store, before landing one as a marketing manager for a nonprofit theater in Missouri, where he earned less than $50,000 per year. It was tough to envision a career path. He says he was working in circles without a degree, and he needed to go back to get this degree. And so after earning his bachelor's in liberal arts in 2019, he got a job as a communication specialist for a construction company where he makes almost double what he makes now. And so, so even with a degree like this, public university alumni are more likely to secure good paying jobs because they had access to college internships and opportunities. So even just being in this college environment can add value more so than just the degree, and you know, with internships or career coaching or, you know, stronger job markets, it can be helpful. Median in-state public college tuition and fees in the U.S. are $8,000 a year, and this is again a median across the board, with room and board running another $11,000. Nonprofit universities have skyrocketed, where the median tuition and fees are $30,000, so close to four times as much from public universities. So, you know, this is where we do have a number of these in South Carolina and Georgia, of these private schools, and they're very nice. And, you know, it's just something to consider with the cost. Community college costs pay, they cost less than four-year degree programs. But there is some conflicting data if this does pay off long-term to go here. I will say, you know, maybe an option is to start out at a community college.
Yeah, that's always.
And then to transfer or to start out at a local college like USC Aiken and then transfer up if you desire that. So there's some strategies to reduce this. But, you know, the main takeaway is there's costs and there's rewards for on both sides.
Yeah. Yeah. And all the people polled.
That's right.
All the people polled by the Pew Research Center, I guess it was 5,200 people were polled, and they said it was less important to have a four-year degree today than it was 20 years ago. That's interesting. About a third of four-year college graduates think going to university is worth the cost, Pew said. The median salary last year for a bachelor's degree holders between the ages of 22 and 27 was $60,000 compared with $36,000 for people in that age range with just a high school diploma, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. And so interesting data to think about. Again, school does cost money, but you do get paid a premium for the education. Another example is a 23-year-old from Kansas. He makes more than $50,000 a year as an associate analyst with United Airlines in Chicago. He graduated with no debt and is now glad he went to a local public university instead of his top choice school in Colorado. Overall, it was just more cost effective for him. Graduates in some states are faring better than others, in part because they have access to better job markets. Around 80% of young professionals in states including Arizona and California and New York have a positive return on their investment in a public four-year degree, which that the Strata found. Despite higher costs of living, these salaries that new graduates in those states earn typically made their investment pay off. Just over half of graduates in Idaho earned enough to make their educational investment worth it, and that figure was around 60% in West Virginia. So it's interesting that different states have different statistics. So it could be worth looking at that depending on what state you're in and what state you or your children plan on attending.
Yeah, and we would also encourage you to not just go blindly into any university or any you know, degree, but ask people and maybe even shadow people and talk to people who have graduated from there and see, hey, what is this like?
That's right.
There's another individual. He's 32. He's a police officer in Oklahoma, and he makes $75,000, which he said this area has a low cost of living compared to some parts of the country. So for him, that is a good salary. He makes his dollar stretch pretty far in that area. This police department is one of a handful in the U.S. that require members to have at least a bachelor's degree. And he said he was attracted to the job in part because the education requirement meant that the department would have a more modern view of some issues. So again, you know, a lot of this is, it can be related back to preference of, hey, you know, where do you want to work? Where do you want to end up? What's the income you want? Where are you living? You know, what's the median salary for someone graduating with this degree in this area? Those can be helpful data because, quite frankly, you know, if you graduate with a degree that you live in an area that one does not require it or two does not reward you if you do have it, it may not be worthwhile. And the flip side, it might be absolutely worthwhile if it's a degree or if it's a job or a location that would need it.
Yeah. Yeah. Business majors at big state schools, they're often landing jobs with bigger salaries. One example, a student from the University of Michigan landed a consulting job making $110,000. First job out of college. Another example, or I guess that's the same example. He interned there two summers at the consulting firm and then was offered a full-time job. So the idea of interning and really solidifying yourself as a kind of a new expert in a field. So thinking about those things too, like what job field you're looking at and what the compensation is. Another example from University of Houston, he went to work at HP, the computer and printer maker, when he graduated with a supply chain and operations management bachelor's degree. And now at 31, he makes six figures. And he said he likes to hire other surprise, surprise, other University of Houston alumni, because they are diverse with a lot of great skills. And so knowing your network is really important. Knowing what jobs or what schools certain jobs hire for and all that stuff makes a big difference. So it's not just going through the process, getting a degree. It's knowing kind of generally what you want to do, networking within that environment, because it really is about who knows you and who values the experience that you had. So there are several other examples in this article, but I think overall, the big picture is college degrees can be worth the cost. Mm-hmm. Even though the data showed more people are less likely or less inclined to pursue that route, they really can pay off. And so do some digging, ask some good questions. And I think overall, the experience of being at college and growing into an adult is also part of that cost and worth the investment. So anyway, good read from Wall Street Journal. Now we're gonna ask a question, the question of the week.
Yeah, and I'll ask you this, Zach.
Okay.
The question is this, when is it not a good idea to save in a Roth IRA? When is it not a good idea?
That's a good question. That is a good question, because I think oftentimes we tout Roth IRAs as the best thing
sure.
since sliced Say bread.
It. There it is.
Sliced bread is nice. I appreciate it. Nice. But there are times where it's not the best option. So I think one of those is when your income is too high and you can't, or if your income is too high and you're in a high tax bracket
sure.
to where it really is not as advantageous. I would say that applies more so for folks who are older.
Mm.
They don't have as much time for the money inside the Roth to grow. The real treasure in a Roth IRA is that growth is not taxed. So you can have, as long as it's in there 5 years, right? You can have that money grow. Let's say you start it when you're in your 20s. It's, if it grows for 30, 40 years, and then you pull it out, it's not taxed. That's huge. If you start a Roth in your 50s and it only grows for 5-10 years, well, it's not as beneficial.
Sure.
And if you're in a higher income tax bracket, it might be more beneficial to just contribute to a traditional IRA and get that tax break now. Another issues could be if you have debt or if you have other goals before, honestly. I mean, saving and investing is obviously very important, and that's primarily what we do. But we want to look at your goals. We want to look at your situation. It could be for a short period of time, put that money elsewhere so that when you do save and invest, you can put it in the Roth and actually do some good damage there.
Yeah, that's so, right.
Yeah. I don't know if that.
No, that's good. No, I think that's good. I don't have anything to add
cool.
To that. Yeah. So if you ever do have questions, if you're listening to the show, please send them in. We want to talk about those questions
yes,
here on the show.
We do. All right, Matthew, hit us with this next topic.
Yeah. Well, Zach, we've seen over the past few years, life becoming more and more expensive. In general, this includes everything from groceries to gas, and yes, health insurance is in there as well. But there are ways to save on health insurance, and we're going to run through 10 different examples of how to do that, and this is from the Ramsey Network. So the first one, check your health insurance coverage. We assume that if you're still listening that you have health insurance, and just because you have the plan with the highest coverage doesn't mean you have the right plan. You may be paying more than you need, or it could be that you don't have enough, and that's costing you as well. So to review your health insurance coverage and to look for whether you're using it a lot or not a lot is important. Under or over usage may be a sign that you have the wrong amount of coverage. And so again, if you're under using your current health insurance and you're young and healthy, look into a high deductible health plan. They have high deductibles, low monthly premiums, and you compare those with HSA accounts, health savings accounts, for huge tax savings. Now, if you're currently overusing your health insurance, whether that's from age or health problems, you may consider more coverage, which could be something like a PPO or an HMO plan. And these typically have lower deductibles, with higher premiums. So you're able to hit that
right.
deductible quicker, and have more covered, but you're paying a higher premium per month for that coverage.
Yeah, and the other thing is just a comparison shop health insurance providers. Don't just go with the first policy you find. Look around. Nowadays, it's super easy to do that. So spend a few moments comparison shopping your health insurance providers. The next tip is to choose in-network providers. Really, in all circumstances, you're going to save money by using physicians, clinics, hospitals that are within your healthcare plan's network. These in-network providers agree to lower their fees on services in exchange for having access to the plan's network members. So it's a great deal for you, depending on which healthcare plan you have. Your cost for out-of-network care, though, could vary. So if you have an HMO plan, it's likely you'll be responsible for the entire cost of care from out-of-network providers. If you have a PPO or POS plan, your insurance may still cover part of the care, but since your overall costs weren't discounted, the amount you owe will be higher, even after your insurance chips in. And if you have an HDHP plan, which is a high deductible health plan, you may have the option of going in or out of network, but staying in network will for sure save you money.
That's right. This next one is to plan ahead for medical expenses, right? So not every health crisis needs the emergency room. Sometimes an urgent care clinic or even your primary care physician will do. To save on healthcare, avoid making a split-second decision to go to the ER. Decide ahead of time where you'll go for what kind of medical problems. And I don't have kids, Zach, so I'm sure you've experienced some of these thoughts of like, what, man, where do we go? What's the situation? I'd be like,
is your head really?
Is it really bleeding?
Are you really blind, or sure? Can we wait until Monday? It always happens on the weekend, so everyone with children knows the kids only have emergency needs on weekends.
It always happens.
Because then you're like, well, I guess we're going to the ER on a Saturday. They can't hit their head or their sibling, you know, kick them in the face.
That doesn't happen though, right?
Not in my house, but I've heard of it happening. Yeah, they can't do it on weekdays, but they have to do it on weekends. You're like, come on, guys. But yes.
Yeah, and so I think that's important, right, to have a plan. And so yes, if you're married, have a plan with your spouse. If you're not, then thinking through, like, man, okay, what is going to classify this? Because when you're in the situation, I've personally, quite frankly, never been there.
Yeah.
But I imagine you're not thinking, okay, let's pause and let's think. Yeah, you're probably just reacting to, all right, we've got to do something, let's do it.
You react.
So thinking through that beforehand is good.
Yeah. Fifth tip here is to enroll in an HSA or an FSA if you can. An HSA or FSA, which is just health savings account, allow you to contribute money tax free to a savings account dedicated to healthcare costs. Both these are great ways to save for healthcare costs, and both allow for an employer contribution. To open an HSA, though, you have to have that HDHP, the high deductible health plan, and really, we're big fans of that combo here. So if you can choose that, that's great. The higher deductible may seem scary, but when you already have the money on hand in your HSA to cover an emergency, it really is no problem. And so with an HSA, contributions roll over year to year, whereas FSAs are only available through your employer, and those do not roll over year to year. Although there's a brief window that they allow you to have there. So since your contributions don't roll over on the FSA, you have to use the funds in that year. So
yeah, so being mindful of that. Yep. This sixth one is to save money on prescriptions. We all know that, you know, if you go to Kroger, there is name brand typically there, but there's also a Kroger brand. And so in the same way, you know, getting generic prescriptions can save you a lot of money. Yeah.
Yep.
Also, what's the GoodRx? GoodRx is a really good resource. Yeah,
get some good deals there.
Got some good coupons.
Yeah, unlike the generic like food items, which you're like, it clearly tastes better from the manufacturer. Yeah, generic, whether it's prescription or over-the-counter meds, if you just look at the ingredients in the back, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's right. This next one is to take medical expenses that are tax deductible and take these tax deductions. So, you know, if you have really high medical expenses 1 year and they exceed 7.5% of your AGI, your adjusted gross income, you may qualify for tax deductions. You're actually able to itemize that expense if you do itemize your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Other tax deductions, like you mentioned before, the HSA is a huge tax deduction. You can contribute up to it's over $8,000 for a married couple, or over $4,000 for a single filer. Also, you can do a premium tax credit. You do have to be near the
federal,
1 to 4 times the federal poverty line for the premium tax credit. But if you're there, it can be a really good way to again get a tax credit back for your health insurance.
Yeah, one of the best things you can do, next tip, is stay healthy. And I know that might sound simplistic, but the reality is if you can focus on eating and exercise and just having activities outside, like we were talking earlier about summer, just moving your body and taking care of yourself, you can save a ton on on healthcare expenses. So, and just, yeah, being more mindful, doing things like meal planning and just having a thing. The way I like to think about it is if you have a budget for your finances, have that same sort of budget for your food and your exercise as well. Just the time and the energy output you have. Think about that. It will save you a ton in the long run. Also think about long-term care insurance. This requires, you know, looking into the future a bit and being willing to pay premiums now. But if you're over 60, you know, it's important you look into long-term care insurance. It's not for everybody. But I guess statistics show that 70% of all 65-year-olds living today will need long-term care insurance. I might question the word need, but you know, I think it's worth talking about for sure. If you're not financially comfortable cutting a check for $300,000 toward the end of your life, you know, you should consider a long-term care insurance policy.
Yeah, and just one quick note on that, Zach. Well, I think this is a really good phrase that we've heard from one of our partners in long-term care. He says that not everyone needs long-term care insurance, but everyone needs a long-term care plan.
I like that.
And so whether that's family or whether that's you're self-insured or a long-term care policy, you need to think through it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like that. I like that distinction. The next tip here is to lower your Medicare premiums. So, we actually see a lot of clients that go through this. The government will charge you extra on top of your regular Medicare premium if your income from 2 years before was above $97,000 for individuals, $194,000 for couples. So if you're coming up on retirement age, discuss strategies with one of us to reduce your taxable income and lower your Medicare premiums. And oftentimes we see that because someone gets a payout for vacation or they get an end of year bonus and they retire, that it really affects this. There is a form you can file if that's the case, if your income in the projected year is going back down to normal limits. There's a form you can get off the Medicare website. And it's easy to do, but you have to make sure to do that because they surely won't. They won't remind you to do that. So
yeah, they'll get you. That's good. Well, that's a good article from Ramsey about how to reduce the cost for health insurance.
Cool. Well, that's good. That's our topic from, or I guess the rest of our article. So now we're going to go to the prescription of the week. And Matthew, you have this week. What are you prescribing us? And also, are you using GoodRx to prescribe us?
So the prescription of the week this week is, you know, how to choose a worthwhile home improvement project. And so my wife and I, we've talked about the dishwasher on the show, and we have done that, and we're looking at doing some other things that quite frankly are not, they are truly a necessity. If we want the house to, you know, stay here for the next 20 years, it's foundation and it's roof and it's insulation. So it's not things that are fun, but I think it's things that are needed from that regard. And so, you know, just a tip is if you have ever gotten a quote for these services, there are companies who will say, hey, it's turnkey and we'll do everything. And you just say yes, and we'll do everything on this list. And we got a very expensive quote from a company, and I'm sure they would do an excellent job, but I decided to go out and basically be the GC on these and get different quotes for each of the parts of this work that we're having on our house. And we're going to end up saving, it's a big number, but it's going to be around 70% of the cost we're going to save. And quite frankly, it's just from me recognizing, hey, like some of this work I can do, some of the work I can go to an individual company and say, hey, can you do this one specific thing for me? What's the cost? And so just encouragement is, man, if someone gives you a quote, don't be skeptical just to be skeptical, but ask questions. And maybe if you can get another quote or get another opinion on that, or GC it and do it, you know, general contract it yourself and sub it out yourself. So that can save you a lot of money in the long run.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. And there's one, especially today with YouTube and their experts online showing you how to do almost everything. Like you said, there's parts where maybe you could do it yourself, and other parts where you're like, hey, I don't have those tools. I don't have the knowledge. I'm going to hire somebody for that. But yeah, do some shopping around. Check out some home improvement. I don't have any recommendations, but YouTube
DIY
pros. Yeah, it's a really interesting world we live in now. Very different. So, well, thanks for that prescription, Matthew. This has been a good show, and this has been your edition of Money MD for middle of June. Tune in next week on moneymd.net to hear more prescriptions for your financial health. Check out our website, moneymd.net, and send us your questions or give us a call at Richard Young Associates at 706-739-0725. Thanks for listening and enjoy your weekend.
Material in this program is intended for general information. information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. None of the information contained in this broadcast is intended by the host to be a solicitation for the purchase or sale of any securities. All hosts are representatives of Richard Young Associates, a registered investment advisor. About a certain